Says the Gemara Daf Ayin Vov Amid Aleph. Mishnah continues. Ronava v'yidish v'achar kach tavachum achar. Somebody steals. Then he's magdish what it was that he stole. And then he goes ahead and he checks the animal. Or sells it. So at that point he's potter, because since he was magdish it, once he's magdish it, it's no longer considered to be in the rishus of the owner. Because the hegdish was kronet with yush and with shinoi rishus, we also before him, with shinoi hashem, because we call a fool and not hegdish. In any event, it certainly does not belong to the owner any longer. If it doesn't belong to the owner, then you cannot be chayiv for doing the act of shchita. In fact, the Gemara, asks as follows. I understand, I understand that for the act of shchita you're not responsible. Because when you did the act of shchita, it did not belong to the owner, it belonged to Hegdash. That's all very nice. On the very fact that you went ahead and made it Hegdash, why are you not responsible? Why is that not the equivalent of a sale? What would be the difference if you gave it to a friend or neighbor, or you gave it to Hegdash? That's a sale. So the act of Hegdash itself should be Machayev you, because you sold it to Hegdash, so to speak. We don't care if you sold it or you give it. I mean, the point is you transferred it. So on the act of the Hegdash itself, Machayev, Mali Machrola Ed Yod, Mali Machrola Shamayim. What do I care whether the sale took place to a secular party or the sale takes place to the Gizbar of Hegdash? It should be exactly the same. And the Gemara Hamani Rabbi Shimoni, the Amar Kodashim, Shechayav Bachrayutan, Rishute Demari Taimon. This is going according to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds, if you recall, that once you are responsible for a korban, which means that the animal that you have now could be used for your responsibility. Now it may be very true that it's not yours, but say a guy says, Arei Alai Olah. Arei Alai means he kept responsibility on his shoulders for bringing this Olah. He now has the animal that he stole. He consecrates that for the Olah that he's responsible for, right? So if you say, well, now it's not his because it belongs to Hegdash, you're right. In the normal sense of Baalut, it's not his. But there's an additional sense of Baalut that we found in the Machloket, which happens to be the Rebbe Shimon and Christ. And that is called Davar HaGorem LeMamon. Something that, to me, represents value because I can use it and place the money. So I owe Hegdash an animal. I take this animal and give it to Hegdash. If I don't have this animal, then it costs me $1,000. Whatever it is that this animal would cost me. So in those terms, I'm an owner of this animal. Since Rabbi Shimon knows Davar HaGorem LeMamon, so now when I went ahead and I did the Hegdash, the act of Hegdash, I haven't changed anything. Because I've transferred the what you would call normative balut, but I haven't transferred the fact that I still have the balut of Davar HaGorem LeMamon. So therefore, it works out according to Rabbi Shimon. On the act of Hegdash per se, I'm not going to be responsible. Because it's not a true transfer. On the act of Zikha, subsequent act of Zikha, I'm also not going to be Chayav. Because the normal definition of Baalut, in terms of did I check this man's carbon or this man's animal, no, I did not. It's now called Hegdash's animal. Before it was called a Kulin animal. Then those terms are certainly not responsible for Zikha. And for the act of Hegdash, I'm not responsible for Zikha. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. If I went ahead and I transferred it to Hegdash before the Zikha, I'm chayav on neither. Not on the act of Hegdash, not on the act of Zikha. So how many Rabbi Shimon he? The Yom HaKadashim Shechayav Ba'chayutan Rishutei Demari Kaima. They remain in the Rishut of the owner, in this case, in this Rishut of the Ganav. Ask the Gemara, but that's impossible, because I'm in the Sefer Rabbi Shimon Avi Reisha Lav Rabbi Shimon. Take a look at the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree, because I say that if you went ahead and you were Machishit and so on, and of course we don't know exactly what his statement meant. It was a very weird statement which we could have analyzed. But he said, I say, Kachim Shechayat Bachayatan Mishalem Tashkone Havavah Chamisha. You will pay Havavah Chamisha and Kachim. Obviously, up until this point, we were going according to those who argue on Rabbi Shimon. You can't say that the first part of the Mishnah represents Rabbi Shimon Shita that Kachim Shechayat Bachayatan is considered to be for Shita tomorrow. We're going to have to find another solution. Tomorrow, you're right. Rather, let us learn over here, not going according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going according to Rabbi Yosef Aguili. Rabbi Yosef Aguili, we're going to have to limit our case, because according to Rabbi Yosef Aguili, if indeed I had made it an Olah, For the moment I made a no-lie, I transferred out of the shul, and I didn't ask them to live here. And therefore I was decided on the very fact that I made an exit. However, it wasn't making a shlamim. It's a big difference. If I make a shlamim, it's kashim talim. If I make a kashim talim, it still belongs to the one who was marked in terms of being able to eat it afterwards and so on. Rav Yossi Aglieli's shita all over is that kashim talim is considered to be the owner's money. So therefore, in transferring it, it's still mine. So I'll leave it to Rav Yossi Aglieli's, I'm a kashim talim mamon ba'alimo. Over should take kaine, talking about, according to him, that he made it a shlamim here, let's say. And therefore, it's still in the reshus of the original ganav, and therefore, there was no real transference into hekesh in terms of mechira. Mashenken, when it comes to tzicha, obviously, it is hekesh. Now, we can't say it belongs to the original owner anymore. Woo! Gano. Put it there anymore. Okay. So we've worked out our Mishnah. The last part of Mishnah is going to Rabbi Shimon. According to whom, any type of hekesh would not be considered to be a transfer, because if I said Hare Alai, I took responsibility upon myself, the Kodesh Dover Garm Lamama. And the first part of the Mishnah is those who are arguing on Rabbi Shimon, but nonetheless it's going according to Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, talking about Kashim Kalim, and therefore he is not considered to be chayav on the making of hekesh, because that's not a transfer out. So it's the Gemara, but there's one very serious problem with that. Because then, what would be the implication? That if it hadn't been Kashim Kalim, then you would be responsible for the very act of Hekdesh, correct? So explain to me then, if the Mishnah is searching, remember, we have two Mishnahs. First Mishnah searches for a list of cases in which, nonetheless, I'm going to face Arba'ah B'Chamishah, even though it would appear on the surface that this wouldn't be included. The second part of the Mishnah takes those very same cases, changes one small detail. And because of that change in detail, I become partner on saying Arba'ah B'Chamishah. Now, in the case of Hekesh, what was the small detail that was changed? The first Mishnah that talked about where I was chayev said the case was I was makdishit after I did the tzicha. And the second case of the Mishnah, where I'm going to be partner from Arba'ah B'Chamishah, I thought I was makdishit before. The Mishnah could have said something much more brilliant, much more to the point, a much bigger chiddush. What's the difference when you were makdish? What were you makdish? If you were makdish at a kashim kalim, then you would be considered to have not transferred it, and the mele you would be father. If you were that's beautiful, much more sophisticated difference, then why doesn't the Mishnah use it? If you're telling me that the Mishnah is going to be okay, believe that would be the way to talk, my friend. So says the Gemara, what are you saying then? That what? Abba kachi kachi mai. What would be the din if it weren't kachi kalim? If we're kachi kachi? Mishalim tashvami abba kamishah. So then you're admitting that he would pay because it was considered to be a transfer for the very act of hekesh. Isn't that an important thing to know? So then why doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Abba kani, instead of saying in the Reisha that the difference is ganav v'tavach v'achar kach v'tish v'shalim tashvami abba kamishah. For God's sake, l'flok v'litnei v'tidah. You could make a distinction within the very same case without changing the order at all. And all you would have to say is, when you partner for actually having made it hekdesh, where it's kachim kalim, and the act of making hekdesh is not considered to be a transfer of balut, because if we're going according to Yossi Aglieli, kachim kalim is still considered to be in the reshus of the one who made them hekdesh, and the male, I didn't transfer anything. What's wrong with your eyes? I know, but why? Staying up too late watching TV?
No.
Thinking so much about the Gemara that you couldn't close your eyes?
No.
Habal. But the contrast would now be Habal. Kashi Kashim. If I went ahead and made it Kashi Kashim, and since I'm going to close with Yossi Aglieli, not according to Rabbi Shimon, so then the very act of making Kashi Kashim, or at least my reshut, would be Machayvi and Arba'ah B'Chamishah. Why don't you say that? Then this can't be the explanation either. We're going to have to come to the conclusion, Elaliolam, Lo Shadar Kashi Kashi, Lo Shadar Kashi Kashi. There can't be a difference. Because then we're reading that. So I understand your question. The Kashalafa, you asked, what's the difference? Makola Hedges, Mali Makola Shamayim. You asked, why am I not responsible for the very act of making Hedges, which is the equivalent of the Mechira? I'll tell you very simple why. Because Makola Hedges, when you make a normal sale, that was what the Torah was Makayev you for. Whatever normal sale consists of, a normal sale is a transfer of ownership, not only formally, but also in terms of the relationship that you have with the item that you sold. So, Mikara through the Ruvain. Vasatur the Shema. It's first called Ruvain Shor, then it's called Shimon Shor. When you go ahead and you make something Hegdish, you make it, when we're talking about Hegdish over here, obviously the carbon. Indeed, if I would have made it Hegdish for Bedek HaBayit, there would be absolutely no difference. It would be the same. But if I make it Hegdish for carbon, isn't it still known as my carbon? So originally it's Ruvain Shor, and now it's Ruvain Carbon Shor. It's still Ruvain Shor. And that has very severe implications in Halacha, because by Shechet Shalom Lishma, it's not the same Baal. What do you mean Baal? I thought there's no Baal. So obviously there is a Baal. The Baal not being Hegdish, the Baal being me. If that's the case, that's not the understanding of the word Makar. Makar means the general interpretation of the word Makar. So if you sit to me, Korah through the Ruvain. The Hashta through the Ruvain, I will never be fired for making something Hegdish as an animal. It doesn't matter whether it's such a kashrut calendar, the shimon, or just completely. That's not the point. It simply is a different idea of a sale here than the one that stirs behind me. Now let's take a look in the Mishnah, turn one page back, and see what Rabbi Shimon says at the end. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kotshim shechayav b'akrayutan, mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. If you were responsible still for their akrayut, then you do pay talis v'hen. But if you're not chayav for their akrayut, then you're potter. Now on the surface, this strikes us as being totally ridiculous. Because what we think that we're talking about is the same issue that we've raised until now. In other words, maybe Rabbi Shimon disagrees with our distinction of a sale to Hegdish being different than a sale to Hegdish. But he thinks, okay, a sale to Hegdish is also a valid sale. Therefore, I need to distinguish between a sale to Hegdish where I still have value in it. And how would that be? I'm responsible for it. If I'm responsible for it, it represents to me very clear-cut value. Maybe not to you, but to me it does. You know, that's a Dover HaGorim L'Mamon. And then we know, according to Rabbi Shimon, that a Dover HaGorim L'Mamon is considered to be L'Mamon. Very good. So I want to make very certain that you understand that not every transfer to Hegdish is considered to be a fiat. Only the one in which I no longer have responsibility. Yeah, that's all very nice. Except that Rabbi Shimon said the exact opposite. He said, where I do have responsibility, then it is a fear. The opposite. When I have responsibility, I didn't transfer anything. So that can't be what Rabbi Shimon means. So, you need to suffer Rabbi Shimon. I don't understand. Let's assume even that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the understanding that we just came up with. He holds, in fact, there's no difference between a self to Hedyot and a self to Shammai. Okay? So he says, Mali Makola Hedyot, Mali Makola Shammai. But then he could be burning. He should have said the exact opposite of what he said. If he's addressing the act of making it Hegdish, and the question is, at what point is the actual act of Hegdish equivalent of a Mechira? If that's the point, of course, we're sort of prejudiced in this direction at this moment, because that's the point that we made of the Mishnah initially. So we're still assuming that that's the point that he's coming to address. So then, if Kuni Boyle, he should have said the exact opposite. He said, like, Kutchim Shechayav Bakrayatah. If I have responsibility for this Hegdish, so then I've never transferred anything because it's still my money in the sense of the Sefer Gormel Mamon. So then it's Potter. That's what he should have said. Instead, he said Chayav. It should be Potter, Zakati Lo Nafik Mirshutay. Because it has not yet been removed from the Rishut of the Ganav at the time that he says it's Hegdish, because he still has value in it. On the other hand, if it's a nizabah. So he never said, I'm responsible to bring an ola. He just said, let this animal be an ola. If anything happens to it, it's not my problem. So in that case, where it was a true transfer, now it's none of my business what happens to it. So there was maskele in Rishutay. It went out of his Rishut totally. Over there, it should be chayat. And yet Rabbi Shimon says the exact opposite. So he can't possibly be talking about the act of making it hedges. There's got to be a piece missing over here. What was Rabbi Shimon referring to? If he says, Hare Zo Ola. Somebody says, this animal is an Ola. He never said, I'll make sure that it's brought. He just says, it's an Ola. Something absolutely hedges. Look, it's not my loss. If he says, Hare Alai Ola, so Alai means it's on my shoulder. I assume responsibility. It's Hegdish. There, I'm Chayav. I made an Hegdish. I transferred the violence. That's the Bechira in the Torah. What's that? And morally speaking, you should bring it to the Gizbar. But if anything happens to it, it's not your business. Now, there may be elements of Shmirah in which you're responsible as a Shomer. That's a different issue. Rashi indeed says over here he becomes a Shomer, right? But it's not his to be a Bairam. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon is not referring to the issue of the actual transference. Rabbi Shimon, Amil Tachrita, Kai, Rabbi Shimon was referring to something totally different. Going back to the figure we were talking about earlier, someone who steals rubber garments. He doesn't say Beshlumei Arba B'Chamisha. Why? Because it says Begunar Mibeit. Says Begunar Mibeit Ha'ish. He ain't the man, right? So now, he's the guy who stole it. If I steal from him, he's not the man, and I'm not going to have to pay dollars to hay. The same thing is true of Gonev, a Hegdish, me Beit Fa'alim. Somebody made something Hegdish, and I go into the Shus, and I take him. Kosher. My China says, Vigunavi Beit Ha'ish, well, let me take Hegdish. In that case, the guy is acting in the benefit of Hegdish, in his property, so I take it from Hegdish, not from him. On that comes one Rabbi Shimon to say, and that's not so simple. Because if the person that I stole it from, that animal represented to him money, because he was Chayav B'Achrayutam, and he had said, Hare Alai Olah, then in having stolen it from him, I would be Chayav. My time of why? Because Karina Deza Gunatni Deza Ish. There, I did take it from the man, because he is the man in terms of it being a Davar Agorim L'mamon. Whereas Sheino Chayav B'Achrayutam over there, if he had only made it, ain't a Davar, it's not his responsibility. So then he's talking. That's not called taking it from the men. Okay. So far everything seems very nice, simple in the Mishnah. Except for one problem. Isn't there a problem now that you told me that we're talking about stealing an animal from Hegdish and shechting it? I don't get it. If I shech this animal, then there's a different problem. Fine, the owner is still considered to be the guy, but the sheep is not kosher. You can't take an animal, a hagdish, and then check it in your backyard. It's going to be possible. But Rabbi Shimon holds that wherever you do a shechita that is not ruyah to be eaten, that is not considered to be an act of shechita that is served with bakum. It's not defined as shechita. So when it says b'tabak, that's not b'tabak. So we have a separate problem that is based on Rabbi Shimon's own opinion. Rabbi Shimon now says, well, the only thing you have to determine is was the guy responsible for it or not. The guy was responsible for it, considered to be money. He took it from his reshut, he shecked it to carbon. You're going to be chayev on the act of shechita. Hold on a second. I'm chayev on the act of shechita, but I didn't do a shechita because I can't eat the carbon. So how could I ever possibly be chayev on shechita? Well, doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold shechita she'en rot, ain't not ruya lapshma shechita? And kachimami by definition, if I'm checking an animal outside of the Mikdash, isn't that Shechita She'ina Ru'uyah? We had the Rabbini, when Rabbini showed up from learning with Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, B'shochet t'nimim b'nim, l'shem ba'alim, you guys don't understand the case. It's not talking about that he shechted a carbon outside of the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore was a Shechita She'ina Ru'uyah. He shechted it in the Beit HaMikdash, correctly. He shechted it, he said, look, I stole this animal from Joe's house. Was an Ola. I didn't realize it was an Ola. I mean, I'm bringing this for him. I mean, I'm too embarrassed to bring it back to him, but I'm going to bring this for him in the Beit HaMikdash. So now I go ahead and I do the act of Tzicha for the owner. So it's a kosher act of Tzicha. And what's the problem? What do you mean, what's the problem? The problem is that you returned it to him. You brought the garment for him. I mean, how can the Torah be Mechayev you for Shechita, his animal, when the Shechita was being done for him, for his garment? So then you gave it back to him. Bahare Khazra Bakaran Labalin. In that case, you actually returned what you stole. Wow. That doesn't make sense. Person say, if you stole an animal and the way you returned it was by shafting it from the carbon, you'd be high at Dalit Bay. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Who cares if he knows? Well, my is the Yoti is carbon. I'm giving it for his purpose. It's not my problem. Maybe I'll send him a postcard. He got the money. Homer of Yitzhak Barovin. The case is Shemishpach Adam. What happened is I did the Shechita indeed in a way that made it kosher, but I never got the carbon back to Joe because, like an idiot, somebody spilled the blood before it was brought under his bath. So anyway, Joe didn't get any benefit from it because the garment ended up being soiled, so the shechita was covered. So I did not do a return. I did an act of shechita. So now it was a kohen. He also Rav and Rav Yochanan, and Rav comes along and says, "Now somebody with Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, why would Yochanan create such a crazy case, Shanish Bachadam? Why would we have to talk about Shanish Bachadam? It's obvious the case would be talking about where you shech the tzmin in bitzim, as you said, but he did not do it for the purpose of the baalim. And the din is, when you shech carbon, lo l'shem baalim, the carbon is kosher, but lo l'lo baalim l'shem chovah. It doesn't count towards the responsibility of the owner, therefore I never returned it to the owner. So I did an act of shechita with kosher without returning it to the owner. Beautiful. What's the problem? I did an act because I had a kavanah not to this owner. So even though it remains a kosher carbon, but the owner is still responsible to bring another carbon. I didn't do what needed to be done. Now, I mean, this is so obvious that it's a little bit disturbing that Rav Dini should have been quoting Rav Yochanan in a crazy case in Mishpat Hadam. Right? So it explains the reason that Rav Dini wanted to say that that was the case of Rav Yochanan is because there's really a problem with this. Since the Mishnah doesn't distinguish between what types of kutchin, let's say that it was a korban pesach, or korban kasha. Over there, if you bring a shalom l'shem ba'alim, the din is that it's possible completely. And we'd be back to shechita she'ena ru'uyah. You see? So Rav Dini said, look, the Mishnah doesn't distinguish. I don't want to give an answer that's only true about certain korbanas. I want to give an answer true about all korbanas. All korbanas are true. If I brought l'shem ba'alim, the korban would be kosher. Then I have a problem, but then I returned it. Okay, so Mishka Chatam. So each explanation, I'll leave it to Rav Yochanan, has, in fact, some value, doesn't cover all of the bases. To say Mishka Chatam is strange because it introduces an extraneous element. And to say the other answer is strange because it doesn't cover all the bases. So leave certain ones out. Reish Lakish Shama, Reish Lakish says, actually, there's a simple solution. I mean, we could be talking about the Shochet Ba'alei Munim Bakut. Your problem was that if you shechted the animal outside of the Beit HaMikdash, it's not a Shechita Ruiyah, and according to Rabbi Shimon, she says, oh, that's no good. Why can't it be talking about that the animal was a Baal Mum? If it was a Baal Mum, then that's all it's only for, is to shechted Bakut. Actually, of course, it would mean it would have to be Poda'it, but we'll discuss that problem in a moment. But that ought to make it kosher. Tell you about Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was sniffing at this. So I used to sniff in order to figure out like what's really going on. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean it's considered to be Rabbi Yochanan? I don't care what explanation Rabbi Yochanan you give, the one about the Mishpat Hadam, the one about the Shalom Hashem Balim. I mean, bottom line is when you do a Shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, the animal is totally off there after the Shechita. You need to do the whole business and the whole jazz. You got to do it. You got to do the Kabbalah Dham, the Rikha Dham. You know, I mean, so the Shechita itself, by definition, should not be a kosher Shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, anyway. I mean, the fact that ultimately we can do the things necessary to make this kosher food. Yes. So the time that I do the Shechita, is that called the Tabach? I thought he also the Tzicha has to be itself, that which makes something kosher to eat. It was a kosher to eat. So Shechita Matera, that was Rikha Matera. So how do you call it a Shechita Ruiyah? And according to Reish Lakish, what's he saying? That since it was a Baal Mum, Bakut is kosher. It's not kosher yet. You still have to be Poda, don't you? I mean, right now it's Kashim Bakut. It doesn't matter if it's a Baal Mum. I mean, so it's not Shechita Kut, but it's Kashim. That wasn't Hutar. How can you eat Kashim? So according to Reish Lakish, Shechita Matera. Hello, Shechita Matera. It's the pigeon that will be monster, and he hasn't been voted yet. So what's going on over here? So there was the machlokas of your Rashi says it. Interesting machlokas Rashi says it about what the case is. Rashi says the case is that the animal was a Baal Mum initially. So the kachim never was chal on this kedusha zaguf. Kachim is there, and that's kedusha zaguf for the there. Kedusha domim la mitzvah. It's that same thing as the chabar is obviously. So now, in that case, it's possible to be poted even after shechita. But if an animal becomes a Baal Mum, there is no way to be poted after shechita because It says Beher Mid HaKohen Beher Rid, which means that's called Hamadav Aracha. You have to be able to stand the animal up. It's very hard to stand an animal up after Lashakta. So how could I ever be Poter, says Rashi? You've got to be talking about that it's never required Hamadav Aracha because it was never Kiddush Tagur. So it says that's not a problem. Could be talking about Kiddush Kiddush Tagur. Because the din of Hamadav Aracha can be mekuyam in the few instants between the time of the shechita and the actual death. So there's the period of tirchut. Tirchut is considered to be alive, as long as the bachet, so its limbs are still moving. So it's okay. Right? So at that point, it's roi le'ha'amada ve'ha'aracha. Okay, but anyway, to get back to the case. So it was bothering Rabbi Elazar. Both Rabbi Yochanan's approach and Rabbi Yochanan's approach were bothering Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara says it needn't have bothered him. He was simply acting out of certain ignorance because Ishtamitite, he unfortunately had missed a very important yesod of Rabbi Shimon, which is other Rabbi Shimon, and we'll prove to you this Rabbi Shimon's shita in a moment, that kol ha'omed lizrok kezaruk tavim, v'kol ha'omed lizrok kipadui tavim. You don't really require the act of zrika, you only require the potential of zrika for a shechita to be considered to be kosher. Because if you think about it, I mean, it's rather obvious that you couldn't call a shechita she'ena ruhuya when it's done precisely what it's meant to do as part of a process. It's being not here. In the same way, if you all get to a shechita, the two of us talk about it, the first part of the shechita, it's because it wasn't not here, so that already is not a shechita, it's a shechita. And that's what we define as a master shechita. So in shechita's kachin, the shechita is followed by the zrika, and so on, and that's the way that you do it. So that is a shechita ruhuya. If I check in a way that it's impossible for me to do a zrika, what's the way to say that would be? Then enough nami would be shechita and ruhuya, because there's no way to make the shechita kosher. But as long as I do things normally, and show it, and it's only to be zorek, then something happens, and I'm not zorek. That doesn't change the act of shechita. That was a normal act of shechita with all the potentiality for hetzer. That's what we require, a potentiality for hetzer, not hetzer itself. The same thing is true about the kidyon. I'm going to shechita now as a balmum bakut. Forget the solo akapay now. But that is what the shechita was for. It was for something that can be eaten upon payment. That's considered to be shechita ruya. And I'll prove to you that that's the case. Let's start with the first question. Kol ha'omed lizrok kezaruk tavim. Let me show you. The time. Rabbi Shimon omer, yesh notar shu metamei tumat ochlin, v'yesh notar sheino metamei tumat ochlin. Now, we have a halakha that the Chachamim said that notar is metamei. And this was in order, as a precaution, because the people would be much more careful with this and to not let it happen. So the question is, if the notar is not a fuska, let's say it was never mutter. So then Rabbi Shimon says, look, if it was never mutter, it's not considered to be kol ha'okal asher ye'achel. Foodstuff are defined by what appears to be a redundancy. Kol ha'okal asher ye'achel. Isn't that the definition of okal? So we understand okal asher ye'achel to mean foodstuff that can be ye'achel, meaning you could feed it to someone else. Even if something that's not kosher for you, you could give it to a goy. Meaning that would be mutter banah. Mutter banah. So then also it's considered to be okal. But over here, it was kosher, and never had a moment in which it had been mutter before it became notar. If I left it over, so then it's not food. And then it isn't food. Can't be the time it's not open. So now, Rabbi Shimon there says, some notar would be metame tumat ochlin, and some notar be yesh notar sheino metame tumat ochlin. Okay, so, and I'll explain, it's very simple. Lonely nezrika, if you left over this meat before you ever did the zrikat adam, therefore was never roi lafila this meat. So then ina metame tumat ochlin. This was never food. How can it be metame is food? So the after zrika, you had done the zrika, and now the carny didn't get around to eating the meat until now the sun set, now it became possible. So, or the sun rose, if we're talking about a kachikachi, it was until the next morning, and now it became possible. So at that point, since it had been kosher before, it now becomes tummy, it's open to me. And in that case, why has become atomic to my dog? Now, in Menachas, we have a big sugya to prove, Taimelon, to prove that what Rabbi Shimon meant when he said, Lichnei Zrikal Atas Zrikal, was not literally with Nezrika, but rather before the potentiality of Zrika. So we said, Miley Nezrika, Kodim Shinir Aladrika, before it ever had a chance to do Zrika. What was that case? Case would be if a guy went ahead and he did the Shrika right at Shin. So now, there's no way anymore to do the Zrika because the Dom becomes Nitzel immediately at Shin. So therefore, he did a Shrika that was never Roy for Zrika.
That's the only thing.
Maybe, I don't know. I can't think right now of another thing. But anyway, that's the model here. And Liaka Zrika is Liaka Shinir Av Zrika. As long as it's possible to do Zrika, that's okay. So what does that show you? Right. Now what's the case to show? Kodim Shinir Zrika Lam Mayi, what case do I mean? Well, Abhi Shel is the young woman's case. There wasn't enough time to do the Zrika, the Shakti Samo, the Shkiata Hama. And it's not the time to do the Liaka Shinir Zrika Lam, meaning what? Not that he actually did the Zrika, but that he was showed the Yom HaMizrika, it was time to do the Zrika. That's all that's important. And at that point, it's the time to Mato Queen. So what do you see from there? That you need a Zrika? On the contrary, you see that you need a potential Zrika, that's all. Which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, we consider it to be perfectly kosher Shita, a normal Notar, a normal Oakland, because it was possible to have a Zrika. Amar Kol HaOmed L'Zok Kizaruk Dami. So therefore, you see, that he doesn't require real Zrika, he just requires potential. So here's the, what are you bothered? But you're bothered by Rabbi Yochanan saying he's talking about the Shech that's even in the Vedic, in the Azura. And your problem is, oh, but he didn't do the Zrika yet, so it's not kosher. You don't need to do the Zrika. Any Shita, which you could do Zrika, is kosher. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's considered to be a Shita Ru'iyah. Call on me, let's go to your do it on me, that we'll see tomorrow. I guess we ought to do the service tomorrow, probably.
We should cover the whole
thing. There you go.